Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this kind of a wet weekend here in the state of Iowa, but we need the moisture, and it's going to help that moisture and the sub-moisture in the ground. But we are glad for you to be with us today, and just as you're traveling down the highway, be safe out there. Just be take that extra time. Without a doubt, there's some things that are going on in our incredible state. Obviously, the farmers are on the move, and tractors, things like that. Even during the week, I hope you folks give those men and women an opportunity to get to the next field. Yes, without a doubt, it's so frustrating at times, those long pieces of traffic. These men and women can only go so fast, and they can only go, sometimes they have to get on the highway to get down the road. And let's give these folks a break, Lord, as they go out about their day, and just wave at them. Hey, thank you for what you do. Less than 1.5% of the population feeds the world. So I think it's important for us to realize that we need to give them a break. So with that being said, watch out as you travel today. Also, too, we want to thank those for listening. On your way to church this morning, just thank you for being a part of Vital Ministries. As you head out for your morning to go to worship at your church, just a blessing as you go. And just may the Holy Spirit come in such a special way this morning just to fill your soul, fill your heart. Also, too, those of you that are listening at home, I want to thank you so much. I love hearing people come up and telling me, hey, Mike, I listened to you on Sunday morning. And I appreciate that so much. It just it helps me to realize that sometimes when you sit here in a booth and you're talking to a microphone, you don't necessarily know who's out there or if anybody's out there listening. I just want to thank you so much for your kind words and speaking to us as well. But let's get this morning just a few things as we get started. Obviously, we've got Vital Men started back up. We are in the book of Matthew, and we are having a great time. We're looking through the perspective of Matthew from the eyes of a tax collector, and it's what the perspective of what he saw in Jesus. We're going to talk about all that stuff in the book of Matthew, and it's just a great opportunity. As men, as iron sharpens iron, so does another man sharpen each other by getting into the Word of God. And you can get on our vitalministries.org webpage. Check out the different locations. We are in 4 different communities. We are in New Sharon. We are in Oskaloosa. We are in Knoxville. And we're also, too, in Ottumwa. And you can go to those places to see where the locations are at and be a part of Vital Ministries. We'd love you to be there as well. Also, too, coming up, October 17th, Saturday morning at New Sharon at Lighthouse Church from 8 to 9 a.m. And again, that's October 7th. We are having our first Warrior Breakfast. We had that last year. We had an incredible amount of men that have been coming to that. We're praying this year that we get 100 men that show up for breakfast for 1 hour. We have breakfast. We jump into the Word of God, an exciting time as men. Just what God can do in the midst of our lives. And raising up as men, it's a great opportunity to bring another man who wouldn't necessarily come to your church or go to church with you on Sunday morning. But hey, he'll come and have breakfast and hang out. Great opportunity. Also, too, it gives you an opportunity to bring your sons, these young men that want to grow up and learn. What better way for them to see how the Lord works as being with other men and seeing how they act and do things. It goes right along with what we're going to be speaking about this morning. So again, that's October 7th at the Lighthouse Church in New Sharon. You don't want to miss out on that. It's some really, really good stuff for our next Warrior Breakfast. But let's get started this morning. Last week, we started our series with the Mountain of Religion. This mountain is the driving force of all 7 mountains. We're doing a teaching series called the 7 Mountains of Influence. And today we're going to be talking about the mountain of family. But see, the religion mountain would be the molder of the culture. That is, it has vision to see society reformed. We also saw last week that the religion mountain needed to be impetuous, that there is an impact on with having a voice in the midst of culture and society. We saw this with John the Baptist. We talked about his life and being the precursor of Jesus Christ, being a voice, the forerunner of Jesus. John makes this statement from the book of Isaiah saying, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. Every reformation starts with a voice, and it's essential that we as believers have an impacting voice that reminding people to make way or to make straight the way of the Lord in his return. That in fact, that he is coming again. How exciting is that this morning? Just the thought of that should excite you. Knowing that Jesus return is soon. And without a doubt, every generation believed that they were the coming generation, that that was during their time. I can remember my grandparents, my grandmother especially, sharing with me during World War II, thinking that the world was ending at that period of time. But in fact, it was just the beginning of that, where Israel was brought together during that horrific time, and the nation of Israel was born under President Truman. And we are thankful all that stuff and history happens for a reason, and it brings people together. And it's important for us this morning to make ready for the way of the Lord. Now today, in week two, we're going to look at, again, the family mountain. The family mountain is the second of the three mountains from which the most, for most Christians who are wanting to reform, will be produced. The religion, the family, and the education mountain, which we'll talk about next week, work together as a pipeline to flood a nation and a society to the potential of the reform in which it does to take back that nation and to make the things back to where the original of what it was. And society exponentially makes changes. It says this in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, shows how that an improper or out of order of family structure will release a curse on the society's verse. And again, this is out of Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will return the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." We are seeing dysfunction when families are not operational or order God under the order of God. Troubles and curses are released not only upon the family, but also into society as well. Can we not see that today? We can see the breakdown of the family, the breakdown of culture, and of every great nation. That was the beginning of the crumbling that eventually took those nations out. It's clear that the fatherless that is affecting our nation is the root problem to many of our struggles as a society. Our prisons are full, our children have no real identity, and the people are aimless and seamlessly lost, living only for the moment. And there are many other ills of society because of the lack of fathers within the family structure. As a result, our society is beset with the curses that affects us all. It says in Proverbs 3:35, tells us the blessings of the Lord is the family in order, while curses are those that are not. And I want to show you that this morning because it'll help us to get a beginning of a glimpse of why the destruction, why the breakdown of the family is bringing curses upon our nation as opposed to blessings. It says this in Proverbs chapter 3, "The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the legacy of fools." Now remember, this is important. Whatever's upon the families will find its way into the whole of society. If a family is blessed because it is just, then the blessing will translate into the society that the family is in. If a family is cursed because of the wickedness, then the curse will find its way back into society. We can without a doubt see that happening in our current nation today within culture. Again, the family mountain has everything to do with the state of society and the reformation of the process in it. That's why it's just essential for us to help us to understand that the family breakdown within our nation is creating a lot of the things, a lot of the reasons why we're having such terrible portions in the midst of our family. I was without a doubt in the prison ministry for over 10 years in Newton. And I couldn't get over how many of the men that I spoke to did not have father figures in their life. There was no men to show them the right path, no men to show them the way. Obviously, men can go out and make babies, but they don't want to be fathers. And I'm sorry, that is the wrong attitude, the wrong way to do. That is the breakdown of the family. That is nothing but a sensual moment for yourself just to have gratification without having the ramifications of raising up a child and not standing into what God has called us to do, be fathers. That is the reason why some of the things that are going on in the midst of our nation, the family. See, the foundations of the family are being destroyed and weakened, which is built upon them will eventually fall. We're seeing that because society values a flow from the family's mountain. There is an all-out attack in this sphere of influence. Isn't that so true? And we see that so much in the traditional family, where we're seeing that we want to see the change of what's that we believe that is the immoral behavior that leads to legitimize the breakdown that God clearly states in the Bible that brings right things into family living, as opposed to what the enemy does, bring its perversions. So we must fight for the family mountain and the values of the society that flow from it. I believe the family value mountains is such importance because we can never sustain reformation in culture without the reformation of the state itself. Even if we were to magically set a place of a family fully reformed culture reflecting the kingdom of God, it could not be maintained without a family structure in godly order. In a very short time, whatever has been gained would be lost. And without a doubt, we are seeing that again today in the midst of our nation. We see the loss of identity with our children. We see the no longer is it important. We're going to talk about each one of these this morning. No longer is the importance of the elderly. We want to sit there and put them away, just put them because they're no longer, because they can't contribute physically to our culture and our society, that we simply want to put them away. That is wrong thinking, folks. And I think it's important for us to understand that we need reformation. Same with widows. We need to be taking care of these ladies who have lost their, or men that have lost their spouses. Come alongside them, help them to be beneficial in the midst of their life, that they have value. It's just essential for our lives. We're even going to talk about divorce a little bit this morning, all the things that break down the family value. See, there are several purposes that the family was created for God. And the first one is this, is with creation, is that we got to understand companionship, that the reality that God made the family, the progression of the kingdom of God would impact the earth. The first family in Scripture was made up of Adam and Eve. We see that, and then eventually their children. It says this in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. And male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." That was God's commissioning to Adam and Eve in the very beginning of the garden, in which they were to have dominion. And God was showing them that it was essential for them, again, man and a woman, to come together and have relations and have children that would eventually bring population and bring other people into the garden itself. But as we can see, there's always a counterfeit. See, God's purposes for forming Adam and Eve, this is important. God's purpose for forming Eve was not to heal loneliness in Adam. It was to create spiritual synergy for the greater kingdom and dominion on the earth. Remember, we can see the flight when tens of thousands flee in Deuteronomy chapter 32 through 30, when God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. He was speaking of his kingdom of influence on the earth. That's what we can see, is Adam and Eve were formed out of the dust of the earth. Obviously, Eve came from Adam. Adam came from the dust of the earth in which God creates it. It says in Genesis 2:15 that Adam's work was in the Garden of Eden. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and he said, "Tend to it." And that's important for us to understand. And that's when Eve joined Adam in the dominion of the earth itself. And verses 27 through 38 said that God again created in his image to be fruitful. But see, here's what happens. The enemy came, the devil came, and he was seeing that the ruling of Adam and Eve, and wanted to bring that change and bring that sin into the world. It says the devil stole away this idea and purpose from the family and made people think it was about them, when it was really about God's purposes in the earth. Now, you got to think about that for a minute, because I believe that the companionship is not important. It is impossible to have conquest without companionship. Real kingdom authority always flows out of proper community and proper companionship, and that's what we see within a husband and a wife. That is the structural biblical view of what God speaks. Now, again, there's going to be people that's going to push back, and people even with hearing my voice this morning is going to push back on what we said. Again, I'm going back to what the Bible says. I'm not going back to beat against anything. I'm just saying this is what the Word of God says. And also, too, this is also important in companionship, the conquest, that husbands must love their wives, wives must honor their husbands, children must obey their parents, and life should be and peace within the ranks of the home. When this is present, we are ready for to execute the authority of God's through family onto the earth. The family's main purpose is the expansion of the rule of the kingdom of earth. That's essential for in the midst of our life to see what God is doing. Malachi 2:15 refers to what that means in specific. It says, but he did not make them one, having a remnant of the spirit. And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of the youth. That means that we go, that the Lord is after godly offspring of the seed. He wants us to be with one man and one woman, not to go out and have outside relationships outside of that. It is with between a husband and a wife. See, as the family begins to realize its real purpose in God, there will be an acceleration from generation to generations of blessings flowing down. That's essential. That's why we need the reformation in the midst of the family. We hear much today about family or generational curses. We've heard that time and time again. The only reason that family curses can operate is that they take advantage of the family lines that God created to carry blessings and anointings from generation to generation. Family lines are primarily to keep the blessings of God flowing down generationally lines so that they can be increased in intensity and power. That's important for us to understand this morning, that those curses that we see, if we keep blessings from generation to generation, we're going to see the blessings of the generation. But when we see the curses from generation to generation, we will see those curses. As an example for that, I will share with you this morning, in our family, within the Sarig family itself, we had the curse of alcoholism. When my family, when my great-grandfather came to America, he brought alongside the curse of alcoholism. He was an alcoholic. From that, he passed on to his son, which is my grandfather. Alcoholism was present. Again, that from my grandfather to my father, alcoholism was created again and passed on to the next generation. Now, my brother and I, from that generation, from that portion of the Bible, because my dad, he had a brother. He lived under the curse of alcoholism, and matter of fact, passed away as an alcoholic. My dad also had a sister, but she was not with alcoholism. Either she died early age due to the fact of complications from a childbirth, and she passed away. But that curse passed on. But what happened was, my brother and I made a decision to follow Jesus. Now, that's what my dad did. My dad decided with the family, because of the curse, because of the separation that was going to happen within our family, my father made a choice, went up and got help and got his life dried out. And my dad is a different man today. My dad is not the man of the curse of his generations that that preceded him, nor is my family. It is not present in my brother or I or my two sisters' families. That curse is not present, and it was not passed on. And it's important for us to see that we can actually stop. See, the kingdom rule of God is absolute. We got to understand that. That God Almighty is on the throne, and nothing can change. The dominion is a literal enforcement of the kingdom into the earth, which is the job of generations. As one generation works with the next generation, a synergy is created, and a multiplication of anointing and gifts are released into the earth. We can see that we do not find ourselves starting over every generation, but actually furthering the kingdom of God and the influence of the earth from generation to generation. That's essential. It says this in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It's familiar scripture that many have misunderstood the ultimate meaning of. It says to train up a child in the way that he should go. Now we're going to talk about children. This is important. As we pass on these generational blessings and curses, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, this portion of the Bible is commonly spoken of as a source of comfort for a child who has been reared in the Christian home but has gone astray. This is quoted to usually say that they will return to the Lord, even if it takes a long time and they are in the latter years of their life. They may bring comfort and might even have some truth. But the real meaning of the scripture is to train up a child in the way he is bent. I'm going to say that again. The real meaning of this scripture, this portion of the Bible, is to train up a child in the way he is bent, and he will go that way. The idea is it comes from a tree that is planted when very small, will grow with the bend that is in it. In other words, every child is born with a bend in them toward the calling of God in their lives. They are graced by God to do and accomplish certain things. That's important for us. When we get the family value, we get the family mountain established and an understanding, we will see that our children and children to come will understand their places of calling, because I believe people that are called into business, media, government, and the other mountains are just as called as those that are called into the religion mountain or into ministry. It's absolutely appropriate and essential for them to be commissioned into their calling. Now, what I mean by that is when we send our students off either to college or into trade schools, or they join the workforce, we should put our hands on them and pray a blessing over them as they step into the ministry world, into the seven mountains of influence. It's essential for them to understand their calling in life, that God can work through their everyday, ordinary lives and use through His glory to advance the kingdom of God. Am I not speaking the truth this morning? I believe so much of what we're talking about this morning that it's essential for us to understand. Then we would not be having this misconception of identity crisis that we're seeing so badly within the schools and colleges. Kids get out of college and absolutely don't understand. So what's next? Where do we go? See, the Reformation Mountain, folks, is important. Needs to be a trumpet of values in a nation. A prophetic voice will be heard that establishes the values of the Lord, and this prophetic voice must be fearless without intimidation. If the foundation of the family values is eroded, then the nation that we love will cease to exist. I'm going to say that again. If the foundation family's values is eroded, then the nation that we love will cease to exist. The liberties that we once enjoyed from generation to generation will be lost, and our children and our grandchildren will experience post-Christian nation that has lost its way. Folks, it's wake-up time. We have never a time in our nation that we need to wake up and see what the destruction in the midst of which our culture, our society, and even to the place of which we're going to look at the government mountain, has imposed upon us, the decay and the decline within the family. We see it time and time again, all these things. You can't help but watch the news, watch television programs, whatever. It is in our face, and it is trying to erode the family values of one man, one woman, and also, with that being said, the family structure itself. And we wonder why we are in such the shape that we're in. See, the reform from the Reformed family is a great honor that will flow into society, because the honor that is being learned at home and our greatest perils that we presently face in a society is absence of honor. Now, I'm going to talk about it. It's important for us to have honor and respect as the children learn to respect and honor their father and their mother in the home, and it translates to every aspect in society. We wonder why we have such disrespect. We wonder why we have such road rage. We wonder why we have such decline. It's all the fact that we have lost the honor and the credibility of what it means for the family values. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3, honor your mother and your father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. We need to bring back those values back and teach them to our children and our grandchildren. And I want to say that, grandparents, you're in this game too. It's important for you to do that. I loved when I hear these different working in the job sites, and I've heard one of them, both ladies that we're building homes for right now says, They will tell me, one of them says that Wednesday is their family day. It's grandparent day. Another one will say Friday, that's their grandparent day. I love that. They are involved in their grandchildren and raising them up and teaching them biblical values of honor and respect of their parents and also too of grandparents. And it says this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but the lowliness of the mind, and let each esteem each other better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interests of others. See, honors will always treat others with honor, and they would want to be treated better within themselves. And that's essential for us in our day and our family, that we create honor. See, children are a heritage of the Lord and the inheritance of its earth. And that is why it's a reward into our life that these are the weapons of the war designed, shot forth in the earth to undo the enemy's influence and being reformation. See, Psalms 127, 3 through 5 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is the reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has the quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in their gate." Man, that is a blessing. That is not a curse, folks, and we need to understand that of what God is doing in the family mountain. It's essential for us to understand that, and it takes us as generations go that we need to be a different source of family and family life in the midst of our place. And it's just essential for us. God also, I just want to touch very quickly, is divorce. And it's important, and I want to make this statement about divorce. I believe there are viable and biblical reasons for divorce. I'm going to be honest with you, listening to me this morning. I was once divorced. I'm now remarried. Ongoing adultery and betrayal, abuse, desertion, lack of support, or others that could be mentioned can constitute biblical reasons for divorce, but only after the last bit of resolve and effort has been spent to keep the marriage together. In the Reformed family mountain, there will be high commitment to marriage and success of every mountain. This is important. There will be clear definition that marriage, again, is the relationship between one man and one woman, and hopefully for a lifetime. Same-sex marriages, polygamy, and other perversions will be debunked and destroyed by the traditional standards established and preserved for the family mountain. Man, this is some really good stuff, folks. And when we get the right perspective of how God has ordained the family, we will take over the family mountain from the perspective of the kingdom of God, and we will turn our nation around when we do the right ways and do it in a biblical value. And I think that's important for us this morning, to do things God's way. And when we do things God's way, we will have a better culture, a better society, and we will advance the kingdom of God for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. I am out of time this morning. Again, dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day and for the opportunity to come and speak and be a voice in the midst of the wilderness, to make your way straight. Lord, as I speak that this morning, to make that way straight, make my way straight. Help me to be the man that you've called me to be, to have the family values, the family traditions. Help me to, as the people that are listening to me this morning, that will see that the essential for the family values is essential, not only for them and their family from generation to generation, but essentially important for a nation. Lord, hear our voice. Please help us to reinstitute the family values on the family mountain that you created. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. Man, what an exciting time. Last week, you can get on the Vital Ministries website. Check out what I shared with you if you missed out, what it means to the mountain of religion. We've talked today about the mountain of family. And next week, we're going to talk about the mountain of education. You don't want to miss it. This is exciting times, an exciting teaching series. This is Mike Searig, the voice of Vital Ministries.